this morning. I didn't really mean to come last Sunday and kind of blast y'all with that. And then the Monday morning I was thinking about it, and I knew we was going to have to continue on with that. And one of the reasons why I believe the Lord titled this with truth is because we've been lied to about a lot of things, according to Scripture. And probably I have said some and done some myself in my ignorance, you know. Because how many knows, over time, if you're growing and you're developing, you're usually always going to see some things that maybe you thought it was this way, but you've come to know that it's this way. And then there is some things that is just outright not right. But anyway, we're going to continue on with that this morning. And so this will be called The Truth, Part 2. And what is that? You got a title, what do you call that, a subtitle? I'm not good at all that stuff, but another title under that or whatever. I put The Leadership of the Holy Ghost. You never want to leave Him out, ever. Even when you think you know. And He knows, you might not know like you think you do. Now Jesus, in thinking about what He said, y'all remember the Scripture? He said, I always do those things that are pleasing to the Father. Y'all remember Him saying that? Now, that tells me, according to Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Right? Ain't that what it says? For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if Jesus was able to say, and it be truth, and we know He always told the truth, He is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, then that tells me everything He said, everything He done, He had to do it how? By faith. Because his confession was, I always do those things that are pleasing to the Father. And if you can't please Him without faith, then that tells me He was always in it. And what you got to remember about Jesus, He did not come here as the Son of God. He didn't even call Himself the Son of God, right? Over and over, He called Himself the Son of Man. He came here to the earth in the form of a man, or the guise of a man, stripped Himself of all power, glory, and all that He had when He was in heaven and everything, born of a virgin, right? Here in the earth, and operated as a man that became baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Y'all remember that? John baptized Him in the River Jordan. The Holy Ghost fell upon Him in the form of a dove. And at that time, God spoke, and some people heard it thunder, and some didn't hear nothing. So what that tells me is, He had to come and demonstrate exactly the way me and you do everything that we do. If we're going to please God, just like He said, then everything we say and everything we do has to be by, through, because of, prompted by, right? By faith. There's never a time that we don't use it if we're going to please God. Okay. Now, trying to think here. Let's look at, I think I want to go to Matthew 10. We looked at these scriptures last week, but we're going to look at them again quickly, I think, this week. And if you don't have your Bible with you, Beth will put it on the screen. But Matthew chapter 10, we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse 5 through 10, just for time's sake. Y'all can write it down, go back and read the whole chapter. But verse 1, and I'm going to read this in the King James Version, and this is talking about when He appointed the 12. Now remember, He stayed up all night the night before He appointed these 12, before He called them, right? Why? These have to be the perfect ones. They have to be the exact ones that God Himself has chosen. He does nothing outside of the will of the Father, by His own will, right? So these are the perfect 12 that He picked. He says, and when He had called unto him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Excuse me. I'm going to read that in the Amplified. It says a little bit better, clearer to me. And Jesus summoned to Him His 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weakness and infirmity. So He gave them power to do what? He gave them power and authority. Now you got to remember, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, I believe it's verse 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. Right? and went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, right? So he's given them this same power for what? He says, I'm giving you power and authority to cast out unclean spirits, to cast out devils, demons, because there's only one devil, right? Then over all manner of sickness and disease. Now you'll have some that they'll tell you, and it's doctrines of demons really, that healing is not for today. It passed away with the apostles. Okay, let's think in line with Scripture. All right, we know in this day there was apostles, right? We know there was prophets. Old Testament, there was prophets and all this. New Testament, there's apostles and prophets and pastors and all that. Okay, you get over there to, what is it, Ephesians 4, where it talks about how that whenever Jesus, when he ascended on high and led captivity captive, when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men for the full equipping or perfecting for the saints, right, for the work of the ministry. It says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Okay, they will say, those that are telling you that, they will say, okay, they're still pastors today, right? They'll say they're still teachers today, right? But they don't believe in the rest of them. And they'll say they're not for today. What chapter and verse is that in two times? Who said that? We're getting real quiet. Then that cannot be true, can it? Okay, all of these is in the same verse. How can you pick out three and keep two? You cannot. And there's no scripture that backs that up. So what do we do with that? That is a seducing spirit and a doctrine of a demon, and we kick it out. We don't believe that. Right? Okay, if it died out with the apostles and the apostles didn't die out, then we also know healing didn't die out either. Okay, there's other ones. Well, we believe that God put this sickness or disease on you to teach you something. There's real teachers that teach this stuff. Whole churches, denominations that teach this stuff. Okay, let's think in line with the scripture. If God put sickness and disease on people to teach them something, and Jesus said, I only do those things that please the Father. I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. And he went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. How can he be coming against the will of God? Cannot. So what do we do with that? We kick that out too. Right? Why? Because we're looking for the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, so shall you be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, the devil would like for us to believe that God put this on me, therefore why? I'll submit myself to God, and I won't resist it, because it's of God, and it's not the devil. That's a lie. It's of the devil. And the Bible says, if you submit yourself, therefore, unto God, resist the devil, he will flee, right? Why? So why do you think he tells that stuff? Oh, he's such a liar. So he tells them there, I give you power and authority to cast out unclean spirits and to heal all manner of diseases, right? That was to the 12. Now, let's look here at verse 5, just for time's sake. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, because we know right at this time he's only called to the Jews, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, do what? Preach. Why? Faith comes how? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. And when you begin to study that Romans 10:17, it's not talking about just any word. That word means faith comes by hearing the Christos, the anointed word in its time and its season, with the anointing, the power of God upon it. That's just like up here at time. I do endeavor to hear from the Lord. Why? There is 66 books in this Bible. Do you know how many words you could preach or teach on all this? But it needs to be the anointed one. What's the anointed? The one he's saying at the time. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the anointed word of God. And if they're going to be set free from demons and sickness and disease and all that, for them to have faith, what do they got to have? The word. They got to have the preached Christos anointed word of God, right? And that's the first thing he told them to do. This is the commission of the church. Listen, there'll be some, there has been some that has dulled down the church and said what the church is for is to help us, to meet our needs, pay our light bills. Come on now. Y'all don't hear this stuff? Y'all never heard this stuff? Whenever you won't meet somebody's need, I thought that's what the church was for. I thought y'all walked in love, Samantha. You lying devil. We do. But see, now there's other scripture says if a man don't eat, don't work, he don't eat. Well, then I want to, do you have a job? Well, no, not really. Well, then I guess you're not going to eat. Y'all getting too quiet. We're looking for truth, ain't we? We want results, don't we? Right? Johnny, I was reminded this morning about the story that you told, and help me if I'm not telling it right, that you was at work, and there was a guy there. He had some kind of sickness, some kind of problem, and you went, I think, to the bathroom or somewhere. You felt to pray for him, right? So you go and you pray for him, and you keep feeling that, Lord telling you, pray for him. And if I'm remembering right, you told the Lord, I just did, didn't you hear me? That's not what he's saying. He's not saying go to the bathroom and pray for him or anywhere else. What he's wanting you to do is lay hands on him, pray for him, right? So you finally pick that up, and you go and you lay hands on him and you pray for him, and what happened? He gets healed. Now, you could have stuck with that, staying in the bathroom and praying for him. Nothing would have happened to him. Would that have determined the will of God? See, it's our obedience to whatever he's saying. See, Johnny got that, picking up on, God, you want me to pray for him? You want to touch him? You want to heal him and all that? But how many knows? Now there's a way to go about it. And if you don't go about it that way, nothing happens. Why? I am not the source of the power. I have delegated power and authority. Right? That's what they got. Delegated power and authority. Even Jesus himself did not have it. Did not operate it in it. Because y'all remember when he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees and all of them, and they won't believe who he is? And that God sent him and all that, and he tells, I think it's over in John, and he tells them, he said, if you won't believe me, he said, believe me for the very work's sake. He said, for it's the Father in me that does the work. He didn't say, because I just choose and I do this work myself. He said, it's the Father that's in me. How many knows it's the Spirit of God in us by what, how we are able to do whatever we do. And it's whenever and however he tells us. Right? Glory to God. Now, he went on here and he tells them, go preach. First thing he tells them. So the number one thing the church is supposed to be doing, the Great Commission, is preaching and teaching. Why? Because people can't have faith without they hear. How do they even know, Sandy, they're supposed to be healed unless they hear the preached anointed word of God about it? How are they supposed to know they're supposed to lay hands on the sick? Lest they hear. So the first thing we got to do is preach and teach. He says, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he tells them, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, which a better translation would be demons. He says, freely you have received, freely give. He don't stop there, right? He continues on. He says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, meaning extra pair of shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat, or some translations say, of his hire. Most people stop right there, Sandy, with healing the sick, raising the dead and all that, but he did not stop there. Right? Now let's go on over to, let's see where I want to go here. Oh, well, I want to, evidently I want to, nope. Now turn over to Luke 10. All right, that was the 12. We found out last week there was 82 of them, didn't we? 83 counting Jesus himself. So here in Luke 10, verse 1, this is where he's talking to the 70. So you can't say these 12 was just the only ones, right? Verse 1, and I'm going to be reading in the King James Version. I'm going to read, I believe I want to read 1 through 11 right quick. He says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So there was 12 in Jesus, which makes 13, and here he's appointing 70, which makes 83 of them, right, to do this. He says, 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. They are the laborers, right? Those 82. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. What's he telling them? Pray for more disciples that has the same power and authority and commission that you do. Right? Why? Because there's not enough of you just being 82. All right. We go on here and he says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse. Now, he told this to the 12 first, right? Now, he's telling the same thing to the 70. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not, therefore, from house to house, into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now, just for time's sake, I want to skip to verse 17. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified. He's talking to the 70. They went out and they did exactly what he said. They didn't take anything extra with them. They did exactly what he told them to. Verse 70, the 70 returned with joy. This is key. They have been out here, Sandy. They got no extra coat. They got no extra shoes. You walk everywhere you go in this time. I mean, at this time, I don't believe these are rich enough to have donkeys, every one of them. So most of where, everywhere they go, they walk. And he tells them, don't take no extra shoes. Don't take but one coat, right? Don't take no billfold, no purse, no money. Well, he's trying to show them something. And they did exactly what he said. Now they're coming back to him, and it says they came back with joy. How many people y'all know today that got none of that and got joy? Well, we don't have enough. Y'all get what he's saying about this. He says a laborer, talking about the disciple, the one working in the ministry, doing these works, because I commission them, don't take nothing with you. I'm going to show you the power of God, not just in healing and miracles and raising the dead, but the power of God to take care of you and meet your absolute every need while you're doing the will of the Father. Now you get outside of that and you're responsible for that. Right? But here, I'm going to show you the power of God to sustain you and take care of you. Right? Then you go over there, and I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 8 somewhere. It could be 2 Corinthians, but anyway, it's chapter 8. And the Bible says, Jesus took upon himself poverty. Okay, we know Jesus took upon himself stripes to pay the price for our healing, didn't he? He took upon himself sin. To be made sin, right? So we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. It's absolutely no different. If he took upon himself and was made sin, and if he took upon himself stripes to pay the price for our healing, he also took upon himself poverty so that we might be made rich. We have to get this. We have to have the riches in the last day. Why? We have to have somewhere, Sandy, to put all these people. Even if it wasn't going to have a church building, you can't just line 50,000 people up in the street. And the last day harvest that's coming in, there's not going to be enough churches. People are going to be everywhere. But he's showing them something here. Don't take care of yourself. There's nobody on this planet in the history of the United States that they enlist in the Army, Navy, or anything else like that. And they get there and they say, well, it's going to cost you $300 to supply yourself with this M16 right here now. And you got to have this amount of money to supply yourself with this tank. You know, and these uniforms, Johnny, they're not cheap either. And y'all got to have, each one of y'all got to have this kind of uniform and these kind of boots. Come on now. Did they ever? The Bible says we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. When did he ever tell you to supply your own need? How many preachings and teachings go against what I'm telling you this morning? Now, I'm not talking about every one of us is supposed to have $5 billion because that is not scriptural. Sandy, it may take more money for me than it will for you. Why? Because of the will of God and the call of God and the things that I have to do. But my every need will be supplied. And your every need will be supplied if we trust him. Because see, whenever they went out there to cast out these devils and to lay hands on the sick and raise the dead, they all had to do it in, by, and through faith. Same way we're going to do it today. And every single one of them had to trust what the Lord said. Don't take nothing with you. A workman, a laborer is worthy of his hire. So they could believe that, couldn't they? Well, laborer's worthy of his hire. God, you're going to take care of us. You're going to supply, right? Okay. Now we go on here. Y'all remember what verse we got to? Oh, yeah, I'm on 17, ain't I? He says, the 70 returned with joy, and they've been dealing with devils and ain't had extra, ain't had no money. Didn't even take their billfold with them. And they come back with joy. Anytime you're in faith, you're going to have joy. They and them two go together. Peace, faith, and joy. Anytime your joy gets disturbed or your peace gets disturbed, you better check on your faith level. They all three go together. Now, he says, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven. Yeah, that's as far as I want to go with that one. Now I want you to look at Luke 22. Show you something here. Luke 22, and this is going to be the King James Version, verse 35. Now Jesus, this is where Jesus had to rebuke Peter. He told him that, he told him that, you know, Lord, I'm willing to die for you. And he tells him, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. Now look at verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse, now he's talking about the two places we just got through reading, right? When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, what? Well, God, you know, my shoes did wear out and I didn't have another pair and I got cold and I could have used another coat, but I didn't have it. And he said nothing. Do you get what he's teaching them here? Do you get what he's saying to us here? Whenever you are in my will, I don't care what that will is, just like this church, for an example, we had no idea this was coming. I mean, we started the church and we know absolutely nothing and never dreamed we would get picked to do absolutely. I mean, Scotty, when they picked him to put up these slides here. It used to be with a projector machine when we started up there. They did that with kind of like what we started out with here. I'm telling you, they asked him to do that because the guy that was doing it wasn't faithful. It wasn't because he was anything or whatever. And I'm telling you, when they come to him and asked him, he is thrilled beside himself, Johnny, that God would pick him just to put them little slides up there. We had no clue this was coming, ever, until later on. We get down here. Scotty, we have nothing. We're doing a Bible study, and there's no bathroom here, Johnny, and you can ask Sandy because she was at the Bible study. If you got to do anything in the bathroom, you have to go to We Total. There's no water meter here. There's no floor back here. There's no ceiling. There's no ceiling back there. He takes pallets and puts them up and makes a little square where the food room is right now. That's the Bible study room. And then God says, start a church. Most of y'all, you've heard the story. God says, start a church. We have $300. Where he had, you know, is an evangelist and he saved the money or whatever. Tells you what his offerings was. But anyway, at $300, that's what we used to put the water meter in with. There's no ceiling back there. Oh, my goodness. And here we go. And there's only him, Johnny. There's not a congregation to help him. Especially for a 5'6" guy, that plywood's kind of heavy. Especially when you're putting it on the ceiling. And Travis, he's just a little, what are you, he's 8 or 9 years old. I think he might have been 9. Not big enough really to do anything. He's about the size of Aiden, you know. Even though he's got strong muscles now, you know. But anyway, to get back on, there's nothing. And God says, start a church. Are you kidding me? With what? What people? What congregation? What money? What? Same thing he told them right here. If I told you to do it, I will supply it. But you're going to have to trust me every little step of the way. Before you know it, here come, I can't tell you all this because I don't even remember all of it or even know all of it. Here come plywood for the ceiling, you know. And he would be down here working, Johnny. God knew it. I remember that guy. I think he's gone now. You remember the Daniel? That was his name, wasn't it? That drove the old truck. He's down here working this day, and this guy that he knowed, his name's Daniel. Real nice guy, but he's lost as you can be. But anyway, he comes down here, and he starts helping him. God sent him. Almost every one of those that helped him on this building were sinners. God picks from some of the most unusual places and people you would never think. Until over all this time, it has evolved into what you see. And you may think it's not all that right now, and I mean, it could use some work and different stuff, and we probably need to get on all of that. But from where it come from the Word of God saying, start a church, God has done miracles. God has supplied every need. God has supplied every bit of help. And when there was no help, he just did it himself. And God gave him the strength, the ability, the wisdom. Whatever it is that you need to do the will of God, he will supply it if you'll trust him. Because see, he told them the laborer is worthy of his hire. You are no different. I am no different today. Whatever you need in your personal life to do the will of God. I'm not just talking about ministry. To do the will of God. What you know to be the will of God in your personal life. If you will trust him, he will supply it. I don't care where he has to get it from. Amen? So he says there, we lacked nothing. You know what the word nothing means? It's the same as that word all, Samantha. Nothing. Zero. Not one thing. So we should not either, right? Then why do we? Can be a number of things. Sometimes it can be nothing but just good old garden variety unbelief. Some of it could be ignorance. They've not heard the word preached about that, Johnny. Therefore, you cannot have faith for what you've not heard. That's why they got to have a preacher to be sent. And then you have some that they have doctrines of demons that they will absolutely fight you to keep you broke. And keep you needy. And keep you lacking. I mean, seriously. Take Travis for an example. Just in the natural, looking at a father. Now, God is our father, right? He never calls us adults. Y'all tell me one scripture he called us adults. When he speaks about, don't he say, my little children? You're now children of light. You used to be children of darkness. It's always children. Children don't take care of themselves. Aiden don't got no job. Paying no light bills. He didn't even buy the shirt he's got on. No underwear or nothing. So for an example, Travis is Aubrey and Aiden's father. What would we think of Travis if Aubrey and Aiden come in here And I mean, they're skinny. But I mean, I'm talking about them little kids like you see over at Ethiopia. I mean, their arms is not this big around, and they're 14 years old, and their bellies look like they're about 3 months pregnant. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And they looked like that. And if they even had shoes on, their shoes are just full of holes. Their clothes is full of holes. They're dirty. Their hair is... What would we think about him as a father? You're not a good one. Doesn't the Bible say God is good? Then why do we choose? Sometimes unbelief is because you choose not to believe it. Right? That was the story about Thomas that Scotty read Wednesday, right? He chose not to believe the words of the other 11 or 10 that had told him, Jesus has been here, we've seen him. He chose. Then there's others they've not yet heard, so you cannot have faith for what you do not hear. That's why there has to be preachers. Then there are others, they don't want you believing that, because they have listened to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits and believed lies. How many knows lies bind? Truth sets free. And God said His Word is truth, right? His Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He will bear witness inside of you if you're born again with what is the truth. And then there's other times that God is bringing in the finances. Help us, Jesus. And you are so flesh, sensual, carnally led with no discipline at all. Thank you, Travis. Don't make me say that again. Been there, done that. Part of how I know, Johnny. Till you go after your every little heart, fleshly heart's desire. And it's, how many knows it's real easy to sign so-and-so-and-so-and-so with 65 easy payments of $600 a month. Now, we're talking about why we don't have results sometimes according to the Word of God, right? Why? God wants us to have results. And He wants us to know the truth about it. Why? Because the truth will make us free. God does not want anybody in poverty, any of His children in poverty, lack, or sick, or demons oppressing them, or with sickness and disease. Right? According to Scripture. So therefore, any time, any thought, any word comes to us of those things, what are we going to do? Cast it out. Why? That's not my thought, devil. That's yours, and I don't think your thoughts. That's not a good one. That's not in line with Scripture. That's not what God told. That's not what Jesus told the disciples. And I am now His a modern day disciple, right? If you've been born again, you are too. What's that mean? That means you've been born of the Spirit of God. You are a disciple. You're a pupil. You're a learner. You follow Him. And He says, if you follow Him, you will not walk in darkness. Your path will get brighter and brighter as you walk with Him. So for all of the, and there's other reasons, but just for the ones that I've said, what's that mean? Anywhere we're not having the results that the Lord has said according to His Word, we need to find out why. Am I just fleshly carnal? Can't wait, got no patience, no discipline, that I just sign my name on everything to credit? God says, oh, no man nothing but to love Him. And listen, I'm not saying if you have credit right now or if you're in debt right now, you're not obeying. I am not saying that, so don't think I did. But wherever you are, you got to work on it. Until you come up, how many knows, you go from faith to faith. You might have payment faith right now, Sandy, to make those little, but you are so maxed out, if you miss one day of work, you're behind. God does not want that for us. So what's that mean? It means you better get in this Word, get yourself built up on the inside, get faith growing and believing to where now you can believe 2 payments a month. Right? Pay off early. Discipline yourself. Stop going in debt. Debt's not good. Let me tell you something. With COVID, there was a lot of people. When they shut down, listen, they closed down the churches, Johnny. They closed down a lot of things. But you know what they deemed essential? The liquor store. I'm not kidding. The liquor. Are you kidding me? You know that's the devil. When you can shut down the church but leave the liquor store open because we are not essential but the liquor store is. A lot of people, Sandy, lost their jobs, lost their homes, lost their cars. Why? They could not afford to do without going. I'm talking about Christians. You understand that's how the devil gets access and can control you. A lot of people, I have people in my own family that took those shots not to lose their jobs. They didn't want to take it. They didn't believe they should have to take it. But other than lose their job, they took it. Can you see the control? The mark of the beast is coming, people. Other things are coming on down the line here. And a lot of times when you're in debt, the enemy knows, shut the money off, and them Christians will do whatever we want them to do. You better hear what I'm telling you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to forewarn you. The Lord is. Why? To get out of debt. So you will not and cannot be. Well, I'll just believe God when that time comes. No, you won't. If you can't believe Him now, you really think you're going to believe Him then when you've got no job to go to, but you got a job now, but you can't discipline yourself and believe Him to help you now? Don't be fooled. I'm talking to myself. Don't be fooled, Teresa. If you ain't believing Him now, don't put it off till later you're going to believe Him when it's harder. When you're faced with the fear right smack dab in your face at the moment and not right this minute. Because in this world, the devil knows, just shut off the money. But not for us, right? We're going to believe Him. If we're in debt, we're going to stop going in. That's the first place you got to start. See, and you can quote that scripture over there. What is it? 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. What's he say? What? What? Even as you... Some people, they don't get it, Johnny. Bypass that, but quote the rest of it. You better not do a half scripture. That's a half truth, which is a lie. Even as your soul prospers. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know how a lot of debt gets here? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. But if you've been born again, how many knows? You have the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, and one of those fruit is temperance, discipline. But it has to be grown and developed, which means it has to be activated in every area of our life, not just in finances. I mean, one of the reasons why people are fat is because they eat too much of the wrong thing. Now, I'm not trying to say, I'm talking about myself. I'm fat because I eat too much of the wrong thing. And it don't hurt my feelings to say it, but now if you tell me that, I mean, it's, we got to quit believing lies about ourselves. That all this could be for everybody else, but I'm a special case. My metabolism, you know, Samantha, is just, it's special, so fragile. Well, do you know it's scientifically proven your metabolism is hooked to how much you get up and do something? Oh, help us, Jesus, get off of that. I ain't even trying to hear all that. Anyway, we want to know the truth, right? So we can live and walk free. Did we finish yet? Yeah, 36. Golly, Mom, I'm going to run out of time. Let's go over to John 5. I'm going to skip a lot of this right here just to get this today because, hey, y'all coming next week, ain't you, if the Lord don't rapture us out of here? I'm planning on it myself, so maybe we'll get to do that part I'm skipping next week, maybe, because the subtitle is Leadership of the Holy Ghost. What did I say? John, what? John 5. That's 6. That's why it ain't looking right. Now, Jesus, he said, I only do what I see my Father do, right? He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. We need to be working on that. I've been trying to work on it myself. How many knows when you're blabbing a bunch of stuff, it's going to make a difference when he says something. And you say it, and you just been blabbing, right? Anyway, so he said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. He says, it's the Father in me that does the work, right? Okay, that tells me, Sandy, he never did anything that he did not have the leading of the Holy Ghost to say or to do. And he never did anything because when the Holy Ghost told him or showed him, he had to act on it by faith. Why? He's coming to me as a man like me and you. Anytime we hear, see in a vision, a dream, or whatever the case might be, or hear the Holy Ghost, we have to by faith. Why? Because you don't always just know that you know that you know that you know. You believe that it's him. So you say it or you act on it, right? So we never do anything without his leadership. Here in John chapter 5, verse 1. See what I want to read this in. King James. Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Notice what this verse 3 says. In these, talking about in these porches, by this pool, lay a great multitude. This is probably talking about thousands of people, right? It's a multitude, a great multitude, not just a little one. A great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Beth, I got an echo and all of a sudden. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him, lie, and knew that he had now been a long time in that case. How'd Jesus know he's been a long time in that case? Wouldn't think so. The Holy Ghost. In one place, the Bible says Jesus knew all men's hearts. How does he know that? How does he know everybody's heart? How does he know anybody's heart? But when he knew that this man had been sick in this condition for a long time, right? He goes on, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the waters is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, I've had people tell me that teaching and preaching like this or whatever, and they say, okay, if you got faith and you can do all of that, why don't you go empty out the hospital? Okay, remember what this said. A great multitude was laying in these porches, right? But Jesus comes up to one specific man. How did he know which one to come to? The leadership of the Holy Ghost, just like he told you. No, don't be praying in the bathroom. Get out here and do this, right? Because that's all that would have worked. Now, Jesus has to do it the exact same way. You got a great multitude of all kinds of sick. They all need healing, don't they? And Jesus has all power to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Why don't he? Because he's only sent by the Holy Ghost to that one man. See, I'm not the source of the power, and you ain't either. Jesus came not the source of the power. He said, it's the Father in me that does the work. Whatever the Holy Ghost says to you, ain't that what Jesus' mother said? Do. And when you do, the power of the Holy Ghost moves and heals. Now let's see another one right quick before I run out of time here. So this is Jesus himself here. John 9, since we're here in John. John, not John. Oh, my goodness. All right, now this here, he's a blind man. He's been blind ever since he was born. He was born this way. Verse 6, talking about Jesus. And when he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came back seeing. Now you'd have some today that they make a doctrine out of the way Jesus did this. Sandy, if they're blind and they come in, we need to have some dirt in here and I need to take my spit and I need to make some clay and I need to put it. Why? It's the way Jesus did it. Why did Jesus do it that way? Why didn't he just lay hands on the man's eyes? Why didn't he just speak the word like he did about the centurion man? Right? Why didn't he go to his house or so? because this is what the Holy Ghost told him to do. Now let's look at this other man right here, because I got about 2 minutes is all. So we see here Jesus spit and made mud, right? Put it in the man's eyes, told him to go wash. Let's see what he does to this other one here in Mark 8. See, it's not just written word. This word ain't alive till the Holy Ghost breathes on it. But here in Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Let's see. Yeah, I got that, King James. And he cometh to Bethsaida, talking about Jesus, and they bring a blind man unto him. Now, we just read about a blind man he healed, right? Blind from birth. Okay, this man's blind too. And they brought him to Jesus and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. In other words, he didn't do nothing right then. He led him out of town, right? And when he had spit on his eye, are you kidding me? What's all this spitting? Now here, he just went, I mean, are we reading this right? He just takes him out of the city by the hand because the guy's blind, he can't see. Turns around, and the guy can't see it coming, so he can't close his eyes. And he just spits right in his eyeballs. Am I making anything up? Well, okay, let's imagine this the way it says it. Okay, the first guy was blind, right? Blind from birth. Jesus spits in some mud, puts it on his eyes, and the man's got to feel around or have somebody lead him because he's got to go wash in this specific pool of Siloam. But when he does, at the word of the Lord, Jesus gets the word from the Holy Ghost. Jesus does what he does and then gives the word of the Holy Ghost to the man. Then the man goes and he does what the Holy Ghost said through Jesus, right? He washes that spittle mud off his eyes, comes back seeing. Okay, this man, Jesus, don't make no mud, just spits right in his eyeballs. Let's see what happens then. He goes on, he says, spits on his eyes and puts his hands on him. In other words, and puts his hand on him, and he goes on there, and he says, and he asked him if he saw aught, which means, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, with a spit in his eyeball, I see men as trees walking. In other words, he can see, but it's not clear, right? He says, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands on him again, right? Second time he puts his hands on him, upon his eyes. Now this time he puts his hands on his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town and tell anybody any of that or in the town. Why did he do that? Well, you know, that's just the way Jesus done it, and that's the way we need to do it today. So we have a spitting ministry here where sometimes we make mud and sometimes we just hawk to in your eyeballs. I mean, am I saying anything that's not here? Why did he do it that way? Does it take all that? There's other accounts that didn't take all that. It's whatever you get in here. And we cannot form a doctrine of how to do this stuff on written word, because it is not the same way every time. Even Jesus himself, we say just in these couple of verses here, Jesus did not do it the same way every time. He was led by the Holy Ghost. We have to be led by the Holy Ghost. Whatever he tells us to do, just like Brother Brad, the Holy Ghost told him to do a cartwheel across the middle of the thing there. Are you kidding? I couldn't do what, but if the Holy Ghost said I can do one and for me to do, you better believe I do a cartwheel all the way around here. And if he ain't saying it, I'll probably do what you call a roundhouse, just rolling around in the floor. But I mean, seriously, whatever he says. We cannot bypass the leadership of the Holy Spirit, right? And I've got to close because my time is up. Does anybody have any questions or anything you'd like to share quickly or anything before we close?